Welcome. This is the New Breed Conference Call with me, your host, Bishop Wayne Malcolm. And tonight, as we do on every Wednesday night, we are teaching on success principles. Success principles. And I pray that tonight's lesson will be a blessing to you. Of course, we're focusing tonight on communication skills and relationship mastery. For those of you who are gold members of the ICANN Global Network, you can go to the your page, your unique gold page, and you can download the manual entitled Relationship Mastery. And as you download that manual, it's pages of notes and explanations on all the things that I'm teaching tonight and that I'm teaching in this series. It also asks you to take offer of the fact, to take advantage of the fact that we have a special offer of half price for the membership levels. All right, let's dive in straight away. First of all, I have devoted many hours, in fact, many years, studying the subject of success in order to find out what is the difference that makes the difference. What is it that makes some people successful and other people who seem to be equally competent unsuccessful? What is the difference that makes the difference? And if you like, I've been seeking for the secret to success, as have many other success philosophers and trainers. I have read over 1,000 books, both classic success theory, contemporary, modern. I have read on management, leadership, on psychology, and in looked at the entire spectrum of human potential development. And I've reached a very simple conclusion, and it is this. Success is a reflection of skills. Success is a reflection of skills. In order to become more successful, you have to become more skillful. I've gone a little deeper in my understanding, and it is that success is a reflection of three specific skills. So your success in life is going to mirror or reflect three specific skill sets. Now, it's brilliant that these things are skills because it means that you can grow them. It means that they're not gifts, they're not talents. We're not born this way, but we learn these things. And because they can be learned, they can be grown and developed. So it's good news. So if you feel as though you're not gifted in this area, that's fine. Everyone that is at the top of their field right now was one time at the bottom, and they had to climb, and they had to make progress, and they had to develop their skill set. So there are three specific skills that are going to determine your success in on a professional level, and they are as follows. Number one, they are personal skills. Personal skills. Number two, interpersonal skills. And number three, professional technical skills. So let's go through that again. Your personal skills really speak of self-mastery. It has to do with your management, your personal management of your time and of your space, of your mind and of your emotions, how you motivate yourself, how you discipline yourself, how you organize and manage yourself. Personal skills are critical when it comes to professional success. No one that is undisciplined, that has no management of their mind or emotions or their space or is disorganized, can achieve outstanding success in any field. The second set of skills are interpersonal skills. These are people skills, how you relate to other people and how others relate to you, how you deal with others and how others deal with you, your ability to win friends and to influence people are an interpersonal skill set, and they contribute immensely to your success in life. The third is the technical skills. That is your craft, your business, your profession, and what you do. So let me run through that again. Personal skills, interpersonal skills, and technical skills or professional skills. These are three skill sets that are going to determine your success. Now, the beautiful thing is that based on my simple definition, two-thirds of your success, fully two-thirds of your success, and I'd venture to say 80% of your success, but I'm going to keep it at two-thirds. Two-thirds of your success will reflect your personal and interpersonal skills, self-mastery and relationship mastery. These are sometimes referred to as soft skills. And then your technical skills are referred to as hard skills. But from my simple definition, it is clear that your soft skills will contribute at least two-thirds to the outcomes of your professional life. And why it's important to know that is because many people will invest time and money in developing their technical skill. How to do this, how to do that, how to do this better, how to do that better. And they'll invest time and money into upgrading their technical skills without realizing that no one achieves outstanding success based on their technical ability alone. It requires soft skills, particularly the personal skills for self-mastery and the interpersonal skills for winning friends and influencing people. So it's very important that you, as a success master, focus on developing yourself and developing your skill set, particularly when it comes to winning friends and influencing people. I'm going to say that one more time. As a success master, it's critical that you focus time, energy, and finances on developing the soft skill that give your technical skills an advantage, an acceleration, and an opportunity to flourish. So what we're doing in this series is we're looking at skills, particularly on the gold level, because these skills will give you an advantage in life. Please understand that on a commercial and professional level, we are living in a cutthroat environment. We're living in a desperate economy where dog eats dog, where you are swimming with sharks, where others are competing for your position, or they're going to use you as a rung on the ladder to take themselves further. And because of that, you have to become very skillful on a personal level and on an interpersonal level in order to navigate your way through the maze of difficult decisions, in order to keep your emotions positive and strong, in order to practice the disciplines, the time, and the space management, the personal organization that's needed, and in order to continue to win friends, influence people, and grow your network of high-quality relationships. Well, I pray that that little introduction context would be useful for you and that you will realize the value of upgrading your soft skills. All right, the skill we're talking about right now is communication. And we're talking about communication because it is critical to your professional relationships. If you become a master of communications, you will be able to turn your relationships into rewards. I'm going to say that one more time. If you become a master of communications, you will be able to turn your relationships into rewards, and you will be able to grow a network of high-quality relationships, and you will be known, and you will know everyone that you need to know because of your relationship skills and because of your communication skill. So I'm going to share with you tonight something quite deep, something quite profound, something that couldn't possibly be shared half an hour alone, but I can at least give you a sneak preview and an overview, and I can encourage you to upgrade your membership in the ICANN Global Network to Gold, where you can download a full manual and supporting documents on this very subject. Tonight, I'm going to talk about creating or building rapport. Creating or building rapport. I'm going to talk to you about how you can create rapport very quickly, and sometimes in under 2 minutes, sometimes in under a minute, you can create rapport with the people that you meet. So first of all, let's define rapport. My simple definition is that rapport is clicking, gelling, flowing, and connecting. Clicking, gelling, flow, and connecting. It is like a verbal dance between two people who are dancing to the same beat. You know what a conversation feels like when you meet, when you click, when you gel, and when you flow. We've all been in situations where we meet someone for the first time and we just click. We gel. We flow. We bond. We connect. The conversation flows freely. It's an equal exchange of ideas and thoughts, and it's a beautiful experience. It's where you come away and say, wow, I met someone today. We had a beautiful conversation. That occurs with rapport. The beautiful thing is that when rapport is present, defenses come down and trust goes up. I'm going to say that again. When rapport is present, defenses come down and trust goes up. When rapport is absent, defenses remain high and trust becomes very low. And you really cannot communicate effectively with anyone whose defenses are high or who does not trust you for whatever reason. And I'm sure we've all been in a situation where we've met someone and we've just decided to keep our defenses up, not lower them, to not trust the other person, to be very selective about what we reveal about ourselves, or to be very selective about conversations we will engage in. And that is because rapport is absent. Now, the good news is that you have to hope for rapport in a relationship. You don't have to wait for rapport in a relationship. Rapport is not a gift. Rapport is a skill. And therefore, you can create rapport. You can build rapport. You can develop a magnetic and attractive personality that people want to connect with and that it's easy to connect with. I'm going to say it again. You can develop a magnetic and attractive personality that people want to connect with and that can easily connect with. You can likewise connect with people even when their defenses are high. There are techniques you can use to bring their defenses down and to bring the trust up. Now, I've been there many times where I've met someone who was on guard. I mean, their defenses were high. They were simply not going to let me in. And I've taken it as a challenge and an opportunity to use my skills in the area of rapport to see if I can break them, to see if I can break in, to see if I can lower those defenses and raise that trust. And without fail, every time, we make some progress. We don't always bring the defenses right down, but using these techniques, we are able to get in to start a conversation that is meaningful and that has a degree of flow. This is a skill that will serve you well. I'm going to say it again. This is a skill that will serve you well because you, in order to become successful in life on a professional level, you literally have to meet new people, network, and grow your network and enter into new relationships or enrich old relationships or revive relationships. Relationships are going to contribute fully 100% to your success in life. And therefore, becoming a master of professional relationships through effective communication techniques is a skill that will serve you well. So let's dive into it now. I'm going to talk about how you create rapport. And I'm going to use three terms that I hope you become familiar with. Certainly, if you become a gold member of the ICANN Global Network and you download the manual on relationship mastery, you get a chance to study these ideas in detail and to make use of other supporting documents and audios. So here goes. The fastest way to create rapport is through mirroring, matching, and pacing. Woo! Come on, Bishop. All right, here we go. Mirroring, matching, and pacing. These are terms that are used. These are terms that are used in a branch of applied psychology called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP for short. The terms that are frequently used in NLP to describe the science of achievement. NLP is called the new science of achievement, in which folks have literally studied what it is that successful people do that unsuccessful people do not do. And when it comes to building rapport, they've studied rapport and broken it down to a science and have come up with these three phrases: mirroring, matching, and pacing. So I'm going to talk about what mirroring is, what matching is, and what pacing is. But before I do, I should make it quite clear that with any new skill, you have to practice and make a conscious effort to practice it. But there comes a point where after you have practiced with conscious effort, that the skill passes from conscious effort to subconscious ease. The skill will pass from conscious effort to subconscious ease. In other words, you're going to practice it at first. You're going to be very conscious of the effort that you're making. But what's going to happen eventually is that you're going to do it subconsciously and you're going to do it with ease. You're going to do it naturally. It's like driving. Okay, when you first start driving, you have to practice driving with conscious effort, mirror, signal, maneuver, and you have to consciously remember that. Look in the mirror, then signal, then maneuver. However, there's a point where the conscious effort becomes subconscious ease, and you're doing it naturally without having to think about it. When it comes to rapport, the skills I'm going to teach you, you may have to practice, and it may be difficult at first because it's a new skill. You use conscious effort, but there'll come a point at which it becomes subconscious ease, and you're doing it very naturally. And some of us are already doing it very naturally without understanding what it is that we do. Mirroring, matching, and pacing. So here goes. Mirroring. Mirroring has to do with reflecting the other person's physiology. Mirroring the person's shape and body language. Now, when I say a person's physiology, I mean what they're doing with their body, what they're physically doing with their body, how they are postured. Some people are very upright. Some people tend to be crouched down. Some people sit a certain way, stand a certain way. Their physiology is giving away something about how they're feeling. Your physiology is always an expression of how you're feeling. So if you can quickly notice a person's shape and then subtly mirror their shape, very subtly mirror their shape. Now, I didn't say mimic their shape. I said mirror their shape. Mimicking is very obvious. It's not subtle, and it appears antagonizing and condescending as though you're ridiculing. We're not saying that you should mimic a person's shape, but you should very subtly begin to adopt their shape. Now, why is this the case? Why has this become a science? It is because we trust the people that remind us most of ourselves. You see, ultimately, the only person you really trust is you. But when you meet someone who reminds you of you, then you're more willing to trust them. And fences come down when people can see a little bit of themselves in you. And that's why you mirror the physiology. I'll give an example of this. If you were speaking to a very elderly person who was quite frail and infirm, you wouldn't stand with chest out in a posture of extreme confidence, but rather you would slightly crouch, slightly bend, and slightly lower yourself and make yourself harmless with your physical frame. And you do it because you don't want to intimidate, you don't want to frighten them. You're dealing with someone that is quite frail and quite elderly. You start adapting your physiology to suit that conversation. And we do that quite naturally. Well, I'm suggesting that we should learn how to do it deliberately, that when we meet people, we should notice their shape and very subtly begin to mirror their shape. You mirror the other person's physiology. Another example of this is that when two people are out on a date, perhaps it's their first date, you can tell as an observer if they are getting closer together because they will begin to subtly mirror each other's physiology. One crosses the legs, the other one crosses the legs. One reaches out for the wine, the other one reaches out for the wine. One does something, the other does something. And as an observer, you're beginning to watch their physiology blending together. This is not an accident. This is how rapport happens. So learn to mirror the person that you're with, and you'll find their defenses will start coming down and trust will start going up. Number two, matching. Matching. When you are matching, what you match is a person's tone. You mirror their shape. You match the tone. So you're going to meet some people who are very softly spoken. You're going to meet some people who are very loud. You're going to meet some people who are very average. Now, you may personally be very loud. You may personally be very softly spoken. You may personally be very average. But what you learn to do when you're trying to quickly build rapport, talking about very quickly, you've just met someone for the first time, and within a minute, you want to click, you want to gel, you want to flow, then what you do is you start matching the tonality. So if a person is very softly spoken, hello, my name is Jane, and I work in the R&D department, then what you don't do is say, well, hello, my name is Tom, and I work in marketing and sales. Because what you're doing now is you're mismatching, and you're going to find it very difficult to break in to that person's space because your tone is loud and aggressive and their tone is soft and gentle. Likewise, if Jane comes up and says, hello, my name is Jane. I work in marketing and sales. We're doing a fantastic job. I really enjoy the company. And you're going to turn around and say, well, hi, my name is Tom and I work for R&D. What's happening is you're mismatching, and you're making a very common mistake, which is the idea that people should just accept you the way that you are. Sounds great, but it's fantasy land. Actually, on a scientific level, people are looking for themselves in you. So what you do, you don't mimic, you just match, and you start to raise your tone slightly or lower your tone slightly in order to meet the tonality of this person. You're already meeting them physiologically in terms of their gestures and what they're doing with their shape, with their form, with their body, but now you're going to actually match the tone, which is not a mimic of the tone, but it's just subtly coming closer to the tonality of the person. You will find their defenses are going to start coming down and their trust is going to start coming up because finally I've met someone in this room that I can relate to. I've met someone in this room that seems to be like me. Now you're able to connect and flow. Now I'm aware that I haven't in this lesson told you how to be a good conversationalist and what to talk about. We're going to do that in a future lesson. I'm going to talk about how you make the content of your conversation intriguing and compelling and magnetic. But let's just start with the structure of the conversation, which is that you are mirroring and you are mapping. And then finally, you've got to learn how to pace. Pacing. Number three, pacing. All right. So pacing has to do with speed. Pacing has to do with speed. So you're going to meet people who are just fast, and you're going to meet people who are just slow, and you're going to meet people who are at an even pace. They are moving fast. They are talking fast. They are moving slow. They are talking slow. They are moving average. They are talking average. And what you do is you begin to pace that person, which doesn't mean mimicking, but it means that you need to bring your speed subtly closer to their speed. Now, this has been studied to a science. And when we talk about, you know, naturally gelling and naturally connecting with people, what's naturally actually happening is that there is a mirror, there is a match, and there is a pace. But people who realize that their success in business or the success on a professional level in their career has everything to do with connecting with people, gelling, flowing with people, and building rapport, will begin to practice meeting new people. How do I meet new people? How do I connect with people? How do I bond and gel with new people? How do I start something exciting with a new person? Well, the first thing you do is you mirror, you match, and you pace. As you mirror, match, and pace, their defenses will begin to come down, trust will begin to come up, because they're going to begin to see in you the qualities that they trust in themselves. This is something that requires practice. And, of course, you know, the content of your conversation needs to be rich as well. We'll talk about the content of a good conversation as we go along in the series. But for now, my assignment to you is to meet new people and to notice people, notice their shape, notice their body language, notice what they're doing with their face, notice that, notice their tone, notice their volume, notice their pace. Are they moving fast and speaking fast? Are they moving average and speaking average? Are they moving slow and speaking slow? Notice those things, because if you can mirror, match, and pace, you're more likely to build rapport very quickly. So I want to encourage you to begin noticing people around you. Begin to notice what they're like, what they're about, and begin to understand that you can build rapport by making subtle adjustments to how you introduce yourself. All right, I trust that that was a blessing for you tonight.